Coming up on TMS, 2 feet of snow and the deer got away.
Fallout 4 is not real, CNN.
Idiots, don't dress your pit bull in sweaters.
Long flight from Charlotte.
50 ways to spell it wrong.
Making things with Bill.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
This coffee is criminal.
Honey, you killed the petunias.
Then you admit it. Your coffee really is murder.
Now, with 20% more psyllium hydroxide and erotic acid, this is The Morning Stream.
All right, for real this time. Hey, everybody, it's The Morning Stream for... Jeez, it's already 13 minutes after the hour.
Well, we don't have time for Daryl today, so I guess we're going to go ahead and cut that segment.
Yeah, we'll cut that segment for the rest of the week. Yeah, Daryl, real funny, sends a text, go, this is what happens when I'm only on Mondays. Shut up. what's up, Brian? We're running a little late, but it's not, and people at home listening to this are like, what are you talking about? Well, it's all fine. It's all fine. If you're exactly. If you're watching the video, you got to see the ridiculousness of what just happened, but it's fine. It's fine. We're here. We're doing it. We got it going on. How are you? What's going on with you?
The curse of doing many, many podcasts, Scott. Mm-hmm. It, you know, if it's not me not knowing which camera is on, it's you accidentally having the Hotline Monday business going.
You have a nice shade of not as pink today. Like this. It's a good look.
I've got the yellow. The Philips Hue is set to yellow today.
Philips Hue.
Yellow.
The creator of the Philips Hue. Philips Hue. Hey, let's get right into it. Business up front here on the TMS show. I got to make a correction.
All right.
A game I talked about.
It's ombudsman time.
It is. And we still have an ethics committee here on the show.
Of course we do. Yes.
Unlike certain legislative bodies. So
time for that later when Jerry's here.
Yeah. So here's the dealio. I said yesterday that Letter Club was a super cool game and that I was playing it, that you should go get it now. Well, the reason I have it, I forgot. I have an early code. And I've been playing with beta testers, and I completely forgot that. I thought it was out. I'm dumb. I talked to the author once again. He reminded me, oh, it's on the 5th. So the 5th of January, which is only a couple of days Thursday.
Yeah.
You can get Letter Club on iOS, and I don't think Android yet, but I should have checked on that too. But anyway.
And it'll be all the better because Scott has played it. He's reported any and all bugs that he's encountered.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I've been all up in it. you know me, beta tester extraordinaire. You want me testing your games because, man, do I send in the feedback. Actually, I don't at all. I sort of just play. all right, so there's that. I just want to get that out of the way. Brian, tell me about Tristan. So Tristan hit a deer, and we know this because Facebook had this post where he says, oh, man, I hit a deer, and thanks, 2017. Yeah. So what happened?
Right, well, he didn't use the word man. Yeah. He dropped an F-bomb right there on Facebook.
Yeah.
Good job, kid.
Yeah, well done.
Sunday night, New Year's Day night.
All right.
The evening of New Year's Day, he went and saw Moana with his girlfriend. Mm. Went out to the movies, went out late, like saw the 10 o'clock showing. I don't understand how people can do that. I'm old. Mm. I'm starting to yell at kids who wear baggy pants and shake my fist at the moon. But he went out and saw the 10 o'clock showing of Moana. And on his way back, we have this street called McIntyre, and it's this north-south street that used to be nothing but farms and open spaces on either side of it. And since we've lived here, 12 years we've lived here, 14 years, it's been built up. Houses on both sides, some apartments going up on one part, and it's getting some, not gentrification, it's getting some build-up.
Yeah, what do you call that? There's a word, gentrification is when they fix old beat-up stuff, but this
is
like...
Exactly. This is like new growth, and yeah, anyway.
Sprawl, that has a negative connotation, but sure.
Sure, yeah. Exactly. So they're doing a lot of building up, and because of that, we hadn't seen deer on this road in eons. Back when we first moved here, you'd go down McIntyre on your way home, especially around dusk, and you'd see herds of deer on either side of the road just sitting there chewing the grass, and they're lifting their heads up and watching you drive by, and then they'd go back to eating.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were here first, the way they look at it.
They were here first, yes. and what's funny is when we went out Sunday night ourselves, or Sunday afternoon, to my aunt and uncle's house to have a Broncos watching party and also do our Secret Santa gift exchange because we hadn't had a chance to do that over the holidays. And one of the people we were talking about deer, and we were talking about the fact that, man, there used to be the street by our house where it seemed like every night if you drove down that street at dusk, you'd see deer. And we haven't seen deer there in 6 years. Isn't that funny? How funny? Oh, well, anyway, see ya. We're going home. Yeah. We head home, and not 5 hours after we have that conversation, not only does Tristan see a deer, but he manages to hit one with his car. Now, I hear him tell it. He's driving down McIntyre. The deer pops out of nowhere. He's got enough time to hit the brakes, so he was only going about 10 or 15 miles per hour when he hit the deer. Hits the deer square on with the front of his hood. The deer tumbles a few times in front of the car, and it's kind of just sitting there.
Yeah.
Tristan and his girlfriend, who's curled up in a ball in the passenger seat, both of them screaming like, "Yeah!" He gets out of the car, and he's maybe about 5 feet from the deer, and the deer hops up and runs out into the field.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he hopped up and ran toward him or something.
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
So Tristan's walking back towards his car. He picks up his Mitsubishi logo off of the street and drives and gets back home and then leaves that Facebook post. So Tina and I see it yesterday during the show, and I see Tina on the webcam out there.
Oh, right. We were talking about this at the end of the show.
About that. Yeah. And she... I go up there afterwards and she says, yeah, you know, there's a little bit of damage to the hood, but the best part is that the license plate is kind of mashed against the car. You know, it just usually is kind of flat out, sure. But this is like somebody just rolled over it and like
made it concave
mashed it to the front of the car. Yeah. And there's a big chunk of deer fur in one of the corners, like folded against the car.
So no blood. No, we don't think we've really hurt the deer, do we? Hopefully not.
No. The way he described it, the deer's probably going to have a sore, you know, probably had a sore day today. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm just going to stay here, guys. You go on and forage without me. I'm going to kick back today.
I know it's the first week of work, but I can't go back.
Exactly.
I got hit by a car. I'll be in Thursday. It'll be fine. Right. Yeah. Wow. All right.
I have a note from my doctor.
So you don't have to go, like, get the car looked at. You don't have to do any of that.
No.
You're good.
No, it all appears to be just fine. He's going to go back to delivering subs today at some point, and not the worst for wear.
Yeah, check for hair is all I'm saying when you're in looking
exactly.
at your, when you got
don't right exactly if you
don't eat that sub, you know, without checking.
Might be venison, might be roast beef. I don't know.
Might be a coarse little hair in there that you don't know where it came from. It doesn't look like the kid who delivered it. You don't know where it came from.
And what's funny is the roads were totally clear, right? There was no, we don't have any snow on the ground. It's snowing right now.
Mm. Yeah, you have maybe, to be getting what we're sending over. You have to.
I was going
to
say, what's happening there as far as the snow?
2 feet of snow this morning. We get up this morning and there's 2 feet. And last night, so I'm sitting here and I'm acting like everything's great, but my back freaking hurts. Why? Well, let me tell you why. Because I did snow removal for most of the day yesterday. Well, that's not true. A big chunks of the day, though. I was out there. I met all my fitness goals on my Fitbit, though, because I was out there shoveling snow and using the machine and doing all that. And there's this really nice old lady up the road, her name is Mrs. Gardner, and she took a fall.
Oh, no.
Not in the snow, but just in her home. And she's older. She's like 80-something. And so we heard about this and thought, oh, man, they're not going to be able to do anything with their snow removal, and I don't know if they have kids in town or not. So me and the two kids went over and shoveled their walk in their driveway and all their stuff. And so that was that. And then when we got done with that, I went, well, I've got this other neighbor. He's nice and he's not at home. I know he works weird shifts. I'm going to do his too. So I do his thing. And then it snows again and harder last night. I'm like, oh crap, I got to go out and do it again. So I go out and do it again for all three of these neighbors again, or two neighbors plus me, all over again. And the blower stops working.
Oh, no.
Yeah, some little screw came loose. I was like, shite. So then I went and did the rest with a shovel. And it's great. And I was happy to do it and everything. I wake up this morning. I'm sore as can be. My back's killing me. And I go outside. And there's like a fresh foot and a half on top of the 6 inches from last night.
It's like, yeah, we're not done yet, Johnson.
No, it's awful. It's a winter wonderland at the moment.
I applaud you, though, for starting off with the plow and then saying, well, crap, plow's broken. You could have just thrown up your hands and said, Sorry, folks. Plow's broken.
I would have felt bad like halfway through this guy's driveway.
Time for a little more Overwatch. See ya.
Well, I did do that last night, in fact. But yeah, like it was just, it's snowy. Now it's powdery, so it's easy to move. So it's not that big a deal. It's not like wet, thick, icy snow or anything. It just was so cold when it snowed that it's pretty much powder. By the way, if you want to have some of the best skiing in the world right now, Utah's the place to be. Oh my gosh. They are killing it up there. Sure. But anyway, so that happened. And of course, no schools are out or no schools canceled because here in Utah, we're men and we're strong women. And when things happen, like snowstorms, we don't all shut down as if it's the apocalypse. So
that's right.
Take that.
Same here, Colorado. We always made the joke that the school superintendent was from Alaska and she wasn't going to shut the schools down unless it was over our heads.
Yeah, when I was growing up, they always threatened it. Like it was this ever-present thing that was going to happen. It's like, if it snows any more than this, we're all going to not have to go to school. We always went. It was always happening. Yeah. It didn't matter how bad it was. And we're talking snow that if this happened in like Seattle or freaking anywhere in California, they'd shut the state down and declare a national emergency. Because they just don't know how to deal with it. So, and that's fine. I understand. You're not used to it. You don't have the road repair system / scooper peoples, all that. Right. The scooper peoples. Sorry, I don't mean to refer to all of you fine people who remove snow in the morning off the roads as scooper peoples, but I did anyway.
Scooper people.
And thanks, by the way, whoever that was with a giant troll or scooper on the front of his truck at like 5:30 this morning. That was a real good wake-up call. So thanks for that.
He's probably responsible for, part of the foot and a half that you had to re-clear, right?
Yep. He needs first two things, he needs a new muffler, and there's nothing like the sound of a giant shovel scraping on asphalt. It's horrifying at 5:30 in the morning. Anyway, only Amish people should be up milking at that time of day. Nothing else should be happening. All right. Also, hey, I want to give something away today.
Cool, let's give something away.
I'm going to give it to a random caller. All you have to do is call in and do an impression of a celebrity. It can be bad. It can be okay. It doesn't matter. It's going to be the first call I take.
Do they have to tell us who they're doing, or do they have to do the impression we have to guess who they're doing?
We have to guess who they're doing. Right, now, even if we get it wrong, they still win. Yeah,
they still get the prize. Oh,
yeah,
that's cool.
There's no big competition here. 801-895-4724, 801-895-4724. It is a copy of the book Ready Player One by Ernest Cline.
Ooh.
It will also include a custom sketch bookmark that I will make and send with the book.
Oh, super cool.
Where's the book? Right here. It's this version of the book, which I think is the second or third printing.
Nice. That's one I have, too.
The one I like about it is the background features the stacked-up cars.
Right, mobile homes, yeah.
Which is really, really cool.
Yeah, love that. I can't wait to see what they do as far as the movie. I mean, books, when you've got your imagination, you're reading the book, and you're visualizing all the things in the movie, there's no movie that's going to take the place of that, but I'm excited to see what they can do with this.
I totally agree. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Sean.
Well, hello, Sean. Hi, Sean. Lucky caller. How's it going this morning? Where are you from?
I am in this wonderful winter wasteland of Salt Lake City as well.
Oh, dude, you and I both, we got to live with ourselves and deal with this. Like, I don't have a commute anymore, which is nice, so I don't have to deal with it on the level that, say, my wife did this morning, taking kids to the high school or any of that. But, yeah, it's gnarly. Like, the point of the mountain, you know what I'm talking about. That's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, who would want to do that in their right mind? And there'll be hundreds of thousands of people trying to traverse that today. It's insane. Anyway, look at me being all lucky and not having to leave. Hey, let's let you win something. Here's the deal, though. And I know that now that you're in Salt Lake City, this is probably even more pressure on you because we could, in theory, run into each other at a Costco or something.
Actually, your prize will be he will leave your prize at the lost and found in McDonald's on 10,500 West and 6,400 North.
I love how you've kind of got it down how we do our streets, dude.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It was a lot easier back in the day because when they established the grid in the city back in the 1800s, it made a lot of sense. It was very small, and you'd say, 200 South and 300 North. It was like no big deal, or 300 West or whatever. Now, we've sprawled too, and we've gone so far south, west, and east, that now you're up into these hundreds of thousands of numbers. and it's kind of getting stupid. We're gonna have to rename everything Martin Luther King Jr.
Once you start getting into the hundred thousands, do you have any hundred thousands yet?
Well, I mean, I live on 127,000 something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. It's ridiculous at this point. Yeah. All right, Kevin. Right? You said Kevin. Yeah. Didn't you say Kevin?
Sean.
Oh, too bad. We're giving the prize to Kevin.
Why did I think it was Kevin? What the hell's wrong with me? All right, Sean, here's your chance. You get to win this book. All you have to do to get this free copy and some free art sent directly to your doorstep, come sleet, rain, or snow, is to do a celebrity impression of your choice. It can be as long and short as you want it to be. And it doesn't even have to be that accurate. Brian and I are going to try to predict who it is. So go for it.
We won't predict. We're going to guess after you do it.
Yeah, we're going to guess. There's no prediction.
Is it? Can I do a character?
Yeah, anything. Yeah, anything sure, you want. Anything you want.
Okay. Well, I've been practicing this one at work because, you know, that's what we do at work.
All right.
Even little pool with my swimming pool, got footballs for juicy food.
I have no freaking idea what that is.
Your microphone on your phone got. Yeah, got a little wonky
it
there.
It did. I think it's just the pitch of it. So Brian, any guesses as to what that is?
I'm going to say Gizmo the Gremlin.
Oh, all right.
The Gremlins. I'm sorry. Gizmo the Mogwai.
Don't get him wet, but he does come with a free Frogurt. I know the one. All right. So, Sean, is that who that is?
That's all I can make out of it.
Who is that?
That was me trying to do Gollum.
Oh.
Wow. Now, I'm sure it was a lot better than it came across over the phone line. I think you were incapacitated by the microphone on your smartphone.
There. Unfairly. Your microphone is at fault.
Exactly.
All right, Sean, you've done it. Well done. Send an email to frogpants@gmail.com. Sorry, wrong address. Scott@frogpants.com. And I will get this out to you ASAP. We will make the appropriate arrangements. And I'm so glad that wherever you work, it's a place where you just get to practice voices. I think that's great. Right.
I'm working from home today.
Oh, well, good. Even better. You can do all your voices you need to from home today.
Exactly.
Congratulations. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Free book, man. Free book.
That's very cool. I was thinking he was going to say, well, I do an impersonation, but it's of one of the people I work with. Does that count?
I would have taken it. I'd have taken anything.
Yeah, I totally would have too.
Yeah, I'd take anything you got, man. And we'll do these occasionally for fun little giveaways, little rando moments on the show. Looking forward
to
that.
This is Kevin over in marketing. Hey, I'm Kevin. Kevin. I'm going to leave early today.
Hey, I'm Kevin. So did you watch the Celebrity Apprentice deal, the Arnold one?
So Arnold's premiere, the premiere episode of Celebrity Apprentice, where Arnold Schwarzenegger takes over for Donald, President-elect Donald Trump.
I can't bring myself to do it.
And so Tina and I were like, you know, we've watched Celebrity Apprentices before, and it's always a real crap show. And it's always like, here's a couple people, you know, surrounded by 58 people from Bravo reality shows and, I don't know, a Property Brother or something. Or one of the Jersey Shore people is on there. Mm-hmm. I made it through the coming up on Celebrity Apprentice and the little clips they showed of Vince Neil and Boy George rolling their eyes at each other and John Lovitz cracking wise and Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, it's very important for you to use your celebrity to increase your charities. That's as far as I made it through. And I said, Tina, I can't do it.
You couldn't So you don't even know what is new your fired catchphrase sounds like.
No, I don't. I don't. And I don't care. I'm totally fine. I'm like, no, I don't need this.
Do you think it's your terminated? Is that what it is?
You won't be back.
You won't be back. You're terminated. Hold on. We can find out. Catch, phrase.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody is.
Well, somebody's seen it by now, right?
Right.
Is, what's that? Celebrity Apprentice. I can't type. None of that was spelled right. Schwarzenegger unveils his Celebrity Apprentice catchphrase. It is. It is your terminated.
It is your terminated. Okay, well, there you go.
I hate that. with 1,000 burning suns, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I freaking hate it. Really?
Well, of course. I mean, of course they're gonna do that.
But couldn't James Cameron step in and say, "Yep, it's my intellectual property. You're not allowed to say that phrase."
You'd think, right?
Lame. All right.
Cameron did the first Terminator, right? I know he did T2, but did he do the first one?
Oh yeah, that was his. Yeah, he did everything up to 2, and then 3 was somebody else.
Somebody else.
And then right. Genesis and that.
So we watched. We ended up watching the new Chris Hardwick thing, which was actually pretty good. It's like a game show, but it's game show Plinko is what it is.
Oh really? What's his? Yeah. What channel is this? Still Comedy Central or what?
One of the network TV shows, like one of the terrestrial, like ABC, NBC. I think it's
really wow.
I think it's NBC, and it's, yeah, I know he's hit the big time. And this is like wearing a suit, Regis Philbin, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire level production.
Wow, that's great.
Like the raising, lowering lights, but basically people answer trivia questions and they drop a ball at the very top of a ginormous Plinko wall, and it bounces its way down into money slots.
Is it Plinko or Pachinko?
But it's Chris Hardwick, man.
I thought it was Pachinko. Is it Plinko? What's Plinko?
Well, Plinko is the Price is Right. Thing.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
Pachinko is the what Plinko is even based on.
Well, what's the so there's that
I have
game
a Pachinko machine in the on the wall over there.
So there's a game made by PopCap called
Peggle.
Peggle. That's the same kind of thing, right?
Peggle. Same kind of thing. Exactly. Right.
Peggle, Pachinko, Plinko, Pinko, 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 Pinko Liberal.
Where they drop a commie at the top of a
a live commie. All right. Well, that was all good, well, and fun. And congratulations again goes to Kevin/Sean, who has won today.
That's right.
Well done, dude. You've won.
Very good.
Let's get into the news. Do we have news? We do. Here's the news. Hey, look, it's the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by.
Oh, man.
Hotline Monday. Scott, what did you guys do last night?
You know, how appropriate for you to turn that into a bit of a musical, since that's what we did. We talked about musicals. Now, some of you may be saying, what were you and Jerry doing talking about musicals? We talked about La La Land as a beginning point, but really, because he saw that. But what we really were trying to do is get to the bottom of why we think they're popular, or why they seem to be making a bit of a comeback, or are they actually making a comeback is a real question. But also, can it work in other genres? Why don't we ever see science fiction musicals in film? Why don't we ever see, you know, even a stage adaptation of a Mad Max movie, which I may have suggested be turned into a musical?
I mean, Repo, the genetic opera, I think was fantastic.
Forgot
we watched
that.
The film sack. And
I should have mentioned that. That's totally a good point.
Yeah,
there are many others like that, but this one is mine. Anyway, the point is, we talked about that, and it was really an interesting conversation, and lots of you called in and made it even better, so check it out over at frogpants.com/hotlinemonday at your own peril.
Your mileage may vary.
That's right. All right, Brian, I got some news items for you.
Sure.
Here's number one. CNN, you know, CNN, they're new. They do news and things.
Cable News Network. Isn't that... Yeah.
Yeah, right? Isn't that right?
I think so.
CNN.
I know news and network. Is it just stand for cable, which is funny because...
I think it
is
just cable.
What percentage of their audience still gets CNN over cable and not satellite?
I don't know. Probably. Well, it's probably still more cable than satellite, but you make a good point. Even if it's like 30% satellite. Like, it's just kind of dumb. It's like saying... It's like naming your show TV Comedy Hour.
The morning stream.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Never mind. Let's talk about CNN.
Yeah, let's give CNN a hard time for a thing I'm doing. CNN used a screenshot from Fallout 4 to show how Russians are hacking things. This annoys the shit out of me.
Nice.
Let's see if I can show this. Yep, there we go, chat room. You guys can take a look at that. So that right there, what you're looking at, is a screenshot from the game. And it's when you go like into one of the buildings and you see one of the terminals there and you can get into it and you can do hacking attempts.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Okay.
Yeah.
They used this?
Yeah. They totally freaking used this. It says, Let's see.
Trouble in our sewer system. Let's look at some footage of a plumber hitting some turtles with a hammer.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. Like, they just couldn't find any other... I don't know why, who picks these things or who is in charge, but yeah. super dumb. Awesome. Anyway, they use this thing. So the networks need B-roll footage. That's the reason. And if you're CNN, you steal footage from one of the most popular video games of the year and hope nobody watching will recognize it. By the way, this would have been one of the more popular games of 2015. The game did not come out in 2016, so even this article is wrong. In a recent story about President Obama's proposed sanctions against Russia for its role in cyber attacks, targeting the United States, CNN grabbed a screenshot of the hacking minigame from the popular RPG Fallout 4. First spotted by Reddit, the screenshot shows the menacing neon green letters that gamers will instantly recognize as being from the game. Instantly.
Let's cut to Pip-Boy, who's at the scene.
Yeah. Pip-Boy, what do you say? What'd you see? Well, fellas. I don't know what that guy sounds like.
I don't know what it sounds like either.
Never heard his voice. He never talks,
no,
right?
I don't think we've ever heard him say anything.
Yeah. I don't think Pip-Boy talks. In other news, a dog is in trouble. Well, whatever. These parents, the owners are dumb. A dog mauled his owners after they tried to dress him in a sweater.
Oh, no.
Have you ever tried to do this with your dogs? Try to force them into a sweater?
We do. We have what's called a thunder shirt for Daisy.
Whoa, that's cool.
Daisy gets freaked out by thunder and firecrackers and things like that. And so we put a thunder shirt on her. And it's a very constricting. It makes her feel cozy and comfy. It just is a...
I think my daughter's dog might need that. Now that you said all this, they did fireworks on the first and they had to just sort of hold her the whole time because she was just shaking and freaking out. And maybe a thunder coat would do it. Thunder coat?
Yeah. Thunder shirt.
Thunder shirt. All right.
Thunder.
Thunder shirt. Brenda, I'll say, so they have this pit bull mix named Scarface. That seems ominous.
Say hello to my little sweater.
he turned on Brenda Guerrero, age 52, Friday afternoon after she took the dog outside in her Tampa home. This is according to Tampa Patch, the Tampa Patch is some sort of news source. The woman's husband, Ishmael, age 46, and a son of Anton Harris, 22, both rushed to her aid and were attacked also. During the scuffle, Harris reportedly stabbed the dog in the head and neck with a knife.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't this feel like there's more to the story than we're being told?
Yeah, because sounds like they said the dog mauled them after they dressed him in a sweater. The sweater doesn't sound like the issue because she took the dog outside and was going to get ready to take her for a walk. And then it turned on her. So. Yeah.
And where did where did the knife come from?
Right. Right.
Did you have one on you? Were you packing? Well, it's not packing heat. What do you call it when you pack a knife? Does that got a name?
No, I think it's just brandishing a weapon.
You have blade on you or something? I don't know how you say it.
It's not a knife.
That's not a sweater. let's see. So they ran to her aid. Harris, again, stabbed the dog a bunch of times. Responding animal control officers within the county used a tranquilizer gun on the dog. When the dog escaped and ran into the house where the children were, officials used a beanbag gun and a stun gun to finally capture the dog with a catch pole. Mm. I'm guessing they put him to sleep, and that makes me sad.
Yeah, well, I mean, the dog...
If he's attacking...
We don't know that. I mean, it seems like they would have put that in the story.
Would they?
But usually if they turn on the owners, then...
They usually do, right?
Yeah.
Says he was pretty aggressive, was able to release the prongs of the taser. Neighbors... Hello, don't play things I don't ask you to your website.
The dog was apparently startled by music playing from a website in the couple's home.
It says they don't like it when you put things over their head, ears, and tail. That freaks them out. The more tense the dog is, the more likely it is. The story has been did include an interview. Yeah, I'm not playing that. Yeah, there's no... they didn't say whether they put them down. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like you ought to be able to rehab a dog or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do I know? I don't know anything.
Cesar Millan. Get Cesar Millan involved. And
isn't he in trouble, though? He's always getting in trouble for something.
Cesar Millan?
Yeah, I thought somebody was mad at him for something. Like he... So I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know. I
what was the deal?
I haven't heard anything.
He was like... What was the deal? It was something like he was... He didn't help a dog, or he did help... Hurt a dog, smacked a dog real hard for no reason, or... There's something going on where his now his people question his dog whisperiness.
Really?
I don't know what it was. Chat room will probably remind me. I don't know why that's ringing a bell. I may be just spreading bull crap. This could be the total rumor. Huh. What else? Baggage handler. Oh, this is gnarly. This gives me the willies. Okay, this story here. A baggage handler was locked in a cargo hold in an airplane for an hour and a half flight from Charlotte to D.C.
Now geez.
Now, that's not a long flight, but dude.
It is if you're in a cargo hold where there's no seat belt or.
Yeah. And plus, I don't know that the air is the air pressurized in there. I don't even know how it works in there.
I think it has to be for animals that are in the cargo.
Oh, right. That's where they put dog kennels.
And that's probably why it's heated as well. It's probably not
that's a good point.
Just left to be cold.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would still be freaking out, dude. So this guy was in there, got stuck in there. United Airlines spokesman said Monday the airline was looking into how it happened. The baggage handler, Reginald Gaskin, age 45, was unharmed. Oh, we'll see how the psychological effects happen. reached by
United
the Washington
is now seeking the money for the for the flight. He did not have a ticket.
Yeah, no kidding. Reached by the Washington Post on Monday night, Gaskin declined to discuss how he wound up in the plane. He said that he had been advised by an attorney not to discuss the matter. Oh boy. Gaskin only said, "I thank God he was with me." Well, that's a bummer for God. Don't bring him in there. He doesn't want to hang out in there. United Express flight 6060. 6060, I could have said, operated by Mesa Airlines, took off from Charlotte Douglas International Airport at about 3 p.m. Sunday and landed in Washington Dulles International Airport at about 90 minutes after that. The plane, a 50-seat Embraer 170, I don't know what that is.
Sure. Yeah.
Never heard of that. Do you know what that is? You've heard of
it? Just a plane, a small private plane. Not private, but like a small... if it's only 50 seats, then that's one of those that's like two on one side and one on the other.
Like a commuter plane, sort of.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I don't trust the ones that are two on one side, three on the other, because that means we're all heavy on the one side, right?
They will go through and they'll say, you in seat 6F, I need you to move over to the other side. And they'll shuffle you if they need to.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
That gives me the freaks for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
It's just somebody's objective view that they're saying,
no,
you
not.
Look heavy.
No.
You should go to the other side.
Not that so much, just that I'm on a plane where there's potentially a big overweight problem on one side of the plane. Like I wouldn't trust a car to be like that. Like, I don't know. That's weird to me.
Well, a car doesn't need to bank like hover.
That's true. Doesn't need to fly at
heavy on one side. It's not really going to affect the.
It doesn't need to fly at 30,000 feet above the earth.
Right.
That's a good point.
Exactly.
He says, let's see. The plane, a 50 seat thing, had 170 seats, rose to 27,000 feet. United spokesman could not say Monday whether the plane's cargo hold was temperature controlled or pressurized. So they don't even know if it was.
That one's so small. Yeah. That's.
Must have been, though.
It might have been heated down there.
But it must have been at least pressurized. You wouldn't have lived at 27,000 feet, right?
No, yeah.
Wouldn't that have just popped your eardrums and given you... How high is Everest? Everest is pretty high. Plus, it takes a long time to get there. You know, you're going to... What's the height of Everest?
It's 29,000 feet. So just under 30,000 feet.
So that takes you days and different base camps.
Right,
and like
you have to have a... Right, and you have to have... an air thing for some of it as you acclimatize to each of the different levels at each of the different base camps.
Sure. So going to 27,000 feet in an hour and a half or less.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they have kind of an emergency oxygen mask or something down in there that he could.
Does the instructions say make sure give it to God first and then to yourself? No, give it to yourself first.
That's right. You just you tether back and forth. All right, God, come on, quit Bogarting the oxygen.
Yeah, you're... You don't even need this.
Right.
All right. There's that. And
I hear on Southwest your baggage handlers fly free.
Oh, great. And do they have to wait to find out which part of the cargo hold they have before they can get on? Freaking hate that airline. They're nice people. Don't get me wrong. I like how they run things, but I don't like the cattle car mentality of that airline. It drives me crazy. Here is a final story. I always like to look at the demographics of the United States and how Colorado and Utah fit into those demographics. And here's one that's pretty interesting. Here are the words that each state doesn't know how to spell. Every state in America, based on Google Trends data and Twitter data, shows what states misspell what words the most.
Okay.
And I'm going to bring up this map so the chat room can see it live on the screen. There you go, on the screen. Let me move that around. Okay, so according to this, let's start with our home states. You guys have a terrible time spelling beautiful. You just can't do it. Beautiful is the word.
Have a terrible time.
Terrible time. Leprechaun is ours. Utah is the word leprechaun misspelled most often.
That's funny. You and Arkansas.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Problems with Arkansas, that's, or with the leprechaun.
That's super weird.
Yeah, we've got beautiful, so does New York. Us in New York can't do beautiful.
I like that you just said Utah and Arkansas have trouble with leprechauns. I like that.
Definite leprechaun problems in those two states. I like the fact that Massachusetts can't spell Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That makes me feel better, actually, because I spell that wrong a lot. Beautiful also misspelled a lot by, what's that state up there? That's Delaware? No, that's New York. No, that's not New York.
Yeah, it's New York.
Wait.
The blue one up there that's above Pennsylvania?
Oh, yeah. No, there it is. You're right.
Yeah.
Man, my Eastern Seaboard geography, a little rusty.
Now, here's the one that I can't figure out. Does Alaska not know how to spell Hawaii, or did they mislabel?
Whoops. They want the newsletter. Hold on. I got to close that window. I don't know why that would be. That's really funny.
And I think Hawaii on how they misspell the word they misspell, which is boutonniere.
Mm-hmm.
I think they misspell boutonniere because it ends with an E. It's like, E-I-E-R-E or something like that at the end of boutonniere.
Well, I think these are all the actual misspellings, aren't they?
No, because the beautiful is spelled
correctly. Right. Yeah.
Leprechaun, diarrhea.
Diarrhea. Yeah, diarrhea. What is going on, Arizona? You all have a diarrhea problem? What's going on over there? My favorite is, it's Nice for Texas.
Yes, right.
And why would they misspell Nice? That's weird. Right. Is it because
I'm amazed Ohio can't spell banana?
Weird. These are weirder than I thought.
Right.
I'm
desert is a problem in both Indiana and looks like Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. What do we got there for Kansas? Schedule.
Right.
This is
really funny. Yeah. Yeah.
Pneumonia. That's a hard one. I get that.
Guarantee in Nebraska.
You know what? Leprechaun
gray,
is hard.
I'm guessing gray is just misspelling, like using G-R-A-Y instead of G-R-E-Y, I guess.
Yeah, and aren't those both... I thought those were now okay to use either one.
They might be.
I thought they were, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there's your news for
the day. Boutonniere is B-O-U-T-O-N-N-I-E-R-E.
Mm.
So I don't understand how they Google Trends spelled it. Boutonniere.
I found it. W-R. I found the correct pronunciation of boutonniere.
Boutonniere's passport.
That's different than I thought it would be.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, didn't quite expect that. Also, now you got me wanting to play this guy.
Diarrhea.
We got here. I'm in Arizona and I've got a bad case of
diarrhea.
Yep, it's bad.
It's all the heat.
Prescription strength diarrhea.
Oh. Prescription strength diarrhea.
Prescription strength diarrhea.
I don't remember what that was. All right.
You can only get that over the counter.
And everywhere. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Bill Duran. He's going to talk about making some stuff. We're going to talk to Justin Robert Young as well. So tuck in. That'll be a good one. And that's all coming up. But that's only after we play some music. What do you got for me?
Right. I have something from someone you know.
Oh.
Hi, Brian. I'm the Cindy from Scott's eye doctor's office.
She's the best.
She sounds like the best. How the heck are you? I wanted to see if I could submit an Indie in the Middle song. My cousin, Matt Gamow, has a garage band called My Dad the Astronaut, and they just cut their first single called The Last Men on Earth. I also had him write a little bio, which says, "We are My Dad the Astronaut, a five-piece group based out of Matt's garage. We're an experimental rock alternative band forged in Utah Valley by native Utahns. We've been playing together for a couple months now, but of high aspirations. You can find them at soundcloud.com. Look for The Last Man on Earth."
Oh, cool.
This is their single, their breakout new single. You know what? This grew on me the second time I listened to it. I listened to it twice through and is like, the second I'm like, okay, I'm really liking this. So if you don't enjoy it the first time, maybe play it again. I don't know. The Last Man on Earth by My Dad the Astronaut.
It just doesn't taste any good.
That feels great on my abs.
By the power of Grayskull, this is The Morning Stream.
All right. Well, excuse me. We're back, everybody. Mm-hmm. I like that. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I don't even need two times. I like the one time.
The first time.
It was good. I don't know why I'm all phlegmy all of a sudden. What's up with that? Just call me Peggy Phlegmy.
Oh, ba-da-ba-da-bum.
Ba-doom. All right. It's that time of the day where we give our good buddy Bill Duran a call, see what he's up to, see what's going on in his life, and bring him on in here. Let's see. He has a name. I can look it up.
Bill.
Hey, Bill.
What's going on, Bill?
Actually, I need to find a thing. Well, here's a bill.
Mr. Chekhov, I mean Billy.
Oh, hi, Billy.
Hey.
Hey, you're wearing your Warcraft hoodie thing, Bill.
Yeah, this is Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean Destiny.
You fake geek.
That's what I meant.
We got a fake geek over here.
That's right. I forgot. You're one of those. You're a warlock. Destiny warlock, right? Is that what the deal is with that hoodie?
I'm a Titan.
Oh, okay. Well, the wow. Titans don't. But the Titans don't have like hoodies. They have like.
But he's got this logo. This is the Titan logo on my forehead.
All right. Here's where I admit I didn't like Destiny very much, and I hardly played it. There you go. That's where
fake.
I admit it.
Big
time,
geek.
Time has come. Bill Duran, of course, hailing from the over there at thingsyoubuild.com. No, that's not it.
No.
What is wrong with my brain today? It's Bill Duran. He helps make things. No, he makes things. He comes on the show and he talks about the stuff he's making. We call it Making Things with Bill, and it's punishprops.com. And it's good to have you, man. What's going on in your head right now?
Good to be here. I have a problem.
I smell toast. Maybe, yeah, go ahead.
Maybe you have this problem too, Scott.
All right.
I say yes to far too many projects.
I know this feeling. I know Brian knows this feeling too.
I know this feeling too well myself.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So the problem is, like, the more I get out there, the more well known I am, the more people come to me with really cool projects, things I want to do, right? It's not like I'm held at gunpoint being forced to build amazing things. It's cool stuff. I want to do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the real solution is I need to say no.
Mm.
I need to say no to cool opportunities that come my way, because I end up with way too many projects, and most of them never get done or take way too long. Like, I have projects that have been languishing for 2 or 3 years that just need to get finished, but I keep saying yes to other stuff.
Mm. See, that's tricky, right?
Like, totally relate to that.
I totally know how that is. I've got a list longer than my arm that I'm currently, I look at every day and go, oh my gosh, what hath I brought?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. So I have a solution, something I'm testing out for myself for this year. Okay. You ready?
Yep.
I have a chart. This is the patented Punish Props Project Hopper.
The Project Hopper. I like the name of that.
Okay.
All right.
So here's the idea. This is, I'm going to try this out this year. So here it goes.
So
yeah,
we go whiteboard. All right.
Yeah.
It has 6 slots on it. These are 6 things, project slots.
Okay.
And I can't work on anything unless they're in one of these slots, right?
Okay.
Now the idea is, I still have dozens of other ideas, right? Other projects and things, and those are all written down. I never want to forget. I come up part of the problem too is, like, I'll have an impulse one day, some crazy wild hair, and I'm like, oh, I want to do that today. Screw all my obligations.
Yeah, that so happens still, to me. That's my biggest problem, actually, is I'll get a wild hair and I won't be able to do anything until I do that,
right? So good. I have a list of stuff I want to do personally. But this thing here, I have all these slots. One of the slots is an impulse slot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means if that day I want to do a crazy thing, if I already have something in the impulse slot, I can't do another one until the first one's done.
Mm.
Same thing with the rest of these. I have a slot for me, a slot for Brittany, a slot for both of us, one for a client. So to only have one major client thing that I'm working on at a time.
So you can't even have like 4 personal projects going on at once. Like, it's one personal project, one client project, one. Okay, that's interesting.
Hmm. Yeah.
That working for you? You like the results?
So far, it's working all right. The main thing is, like, I want to do personal projects. I want to have time to do personal projects. And that means saying no to client work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Because we literally have 2 people in our company. I can't count on the cast to make stuff. They suck.
Right.
I also have an emergency slot. So if something breaks and I have to spend a day fixing it, that's the emergency thing. Mm. Or like I need to build a new shelf for all my camera gear. Those things just keep getting pushed back because other things keep coming up. Mm-hmm. I have important stuff I'm not doing.
Mm.
So that's the idea here.
That seems all right. It's funny you brought that up because I found this app that I'm going to recommend.
Ooh.
Called Forest. Run Forest. No, but I was thinking that too. So people have heard of the Pomodoro thing where you have the timer and you just, the idea is for like, you set a timer and you say, all right, for the next 25 minutes, I'm doing nothing but focusing on the work I have in front of me that I need to do and nothing, no distractions, nothing. Those work pretty well, but they take an extra level of self-discipline, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is taking that in this weird new direction. So you plant a tree for every chunk of work time that you create. You can change that time pretty easily with a little dial. Chat room, you can kind of see the tree there. And I've set it at 25 minutes. Now, Brian, you can see that too because you're on my video.
Yep, I'm seeing it too, yeah.
So when I hit start, what happens is it will start to grow that tree and it will start out as a tiny little bud just sticking out of the snow. And it's in the snow right now because we're in the winter. This changes based on the season.
Oh, cool.
And for the next 25 minutes, it will have various stages of growth. And the idea is that if I leave, once that starts, I'm supposed to set my phone down. My phone will go to sleep like normal, like the screen will turn off. But I'm not allowed to go to any other apps, to do anything else with my phone until that timer's done, or it will kill the plant.
No.
So what you end up with is at the end of the day, you're supposed to end up with a chunk of land with how well your work trees went. And you don't want to have a bunch of dead ones in there. So it's kind of gamifying it a little bit. But what I liked about it is, like, for example, I'll just do this for fun. If I hit start and then I get out, it gives me a notification immediately says, hurry up and get back in before a tree dies. So I hit it and I'm still okay. But if I stay out of there for more than like 5 seconds, my tree's dead and I may as well just say, well, forget it. I'm not going to have that tree now. And so it's surprisingly motivating. Kind of shocked about how much I like it. It's only $1. And it's totally worth getting. I have it on iPhone. I don't know if it's on Android.
$1.99 currently, so get it on a discount. Yeah. But still, I mean... Yeah.
Apple's 99-cent sale, I think, is when I got it. But anyway, Forest, it's called. Totally worth it if you're looking for something to help boost your productivity. But also, if you're specifically having trouble with your phone being your distraction device, that thing's awesome. Because the minute I'm like, oh, I need to check Twitter. Oh, shit, I can. I'm growing a tree.
App I need is... this list is full, and there are times when it's full, when I have a lot of projects on my plate, and then I'll go to my phone and go, you know, I should look up reference images for that Blade Runner gun. Mm-hmm. start to wander a little bit. I need my phone to give me an electric shock. Be like, no, you have too much you're working on right now.
Yeah.
They're like, I need to look up drones. I should get into that.
It's funny, like the old... what was that? There was an episode of Cheers where Cliff wore a shock collar. Remember this, Brian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anytime he would say,
Cheers,
he would tell facts or whatever.
Right, exactly. It's a little known fact. It's dope.
Then they'd zap him. That always stuck with me, that was a way to deal with things you were trying to change about yourself. So I think you're on the right track there.
Yeah. Bill. That's the idea. I just started using this. This is my new thing for this year. Mm. And I'm willing to bet that if I stick to this, it seems like limiting how many projects I'm commit to means I'll do less projects. I'm willing to bet I'll do more. I'll get more done.
I agree. I bet the math turns out that you end up getting more opportunities because your focus is more narrow and you're pushing them out quicker and all that stuff. I'll bet that's
totally true. Also, what happens when an opportunity comes towards me and I'm more picky, what I've found is that the ones I end up taking end up being really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of like in the past where I'd jump at an opportunity because it seems kind of cool, that means I can't do another project that's going to come along that might be even more amazing.
Sure, sure.
I'm in the position where I can afford to be picky, which is nice.
Right, right.
Yeah. What you almost need is some way of stacking those up in those slots behind the one that you can see, right? So that way you don't lose those.
I have an on deck list next to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because you're gonna have some that aren't time dependent, and then you're gonna have some that have deadlines.
Yeah, that like the client one would have deadlines.
Right.
An emergency one would have a deadline.
Right.
How come this thing's on a whiteboard and it's not made out of foam or resin or 3D printed or something?
Yeah, just a whiteboard. Jeez, Bill, really slacking on the creative juice here. Hey, no, let me ask you this about the whiteboard. So I have a theory about whiteboards and the reason that they work and are motivational beyond, say, a pad of paper or an app or a program on your computer or something. there's something about putting a big fat thing on the wall that's just looking at you all the time that has got big juicy letters on it, and you've got to change it. You got to get up there and be physical with that thing. You got to erase stuff, and you got to write stuff down. There's something about that that makes that stuff more effective for what you're trying to do.
Yes, and it feels great to cross things off or erase them.
Yeah,
we finished three big projects last week. They were all on this list, and they just went, and they were gone, and the list is empty right now. And I'm like, that's a really great way to enter into the new year. This is fantastic.
I agree. All right. Well, I like this advice.
Just calling me.
This is solid.
Stop calling me.
Who's calling you? Someone calling you?
I don't know. Somebody keeps calling me.
Well, tell them to quit calling you.
Boom's on Do Not Disturb, but there must be somebody in my VIP list or something, but I don't recognize the number.
Those bastards.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, Bill, it's always a pleasure. Usually I have a recommendation here at the end of the segment. Do you have anything you'd like to point people to today?
I do. We know our friends over at Tested, those cool guys.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Well, they have a premium service most people may know about. I don't know if people know about it or not, but I am a subscriber of their premium service, and it is worth every penny. I think it's like $40 a year. But for that, you usually get a cool poster by Adam Savage. I actually have his mecha hand poster.
Oh, the Hellboy one, yeah.
Yeah, the Hellboy one. I got it framed in the background of my office. Yeah. It's amazing. It's worth it just to get that, but you also get access to a bunch of their premium video content. And recently, they did a bunch of video at Weta. Yeah, you got a thing up on the screen where they're doing some model shop stuff. Mm-hmm. Adam Savage built a sword blade with Peter Lyon, the Weta Swordmaster. And that whole video is up on their premium thing. And again, it's worth it. I think it's worth the premium price just to watch that one video. It's amazing.
Oh my gosh. The labyrinth model. Look at that.
They have so much cool stuff.
Oh my hell's blanket. That's so cool, yeah. Dude.
And a lot of that stuff is on their normal site, but a handful of things go up on the premium one. It's paywalled, but it's worth it.
I also like Simone Gertz, or however you say her last name, with her
Yetch.
Horrible robots that barely work. It's so much fun to watch her do stuff. Yeah. Tested. Tested.com. It's good stuff. You guys should check it out.
Yes. Tested.com/premium is where you can go to get the extra goodies.
I support this 100%. Bill Duran, everybody. Sure. Punishprops.com. Chim Beard on Twitter. Take it easy. Have a great week and mark something off your whiteboard.
Done. TMS.
Done. All the way. Oh, yeah, mark that off.
TMS completed.
All right. Nice. Brian?
Yes.
Jury time.
Okay.
Jury all duty. Right. You ready for jury duty?
Okay, I am ready for jury duty.
Okay, let's get him in here. Don't know what he's going to want to talk about.
No idea.
He might want to talk about that weird ethics office closure thing. Mm-hmm. He may want to talk about, I don't know, naked men. I don't know.
Sure. We're okay with whatever he wants to talk about.
That's true.
We're okay with.
Here's this.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
That's the sounds of Justin Robert Young, who's now on the line with us. Hello, Justin.
Good morning, friends. How are you?
Good morning. And look at you, still well-dressed for a podcaster, I must say.
Yeah, that's my new... I'm the well-dressed podcaster. My bit.
So I have my camera going three ways. I want to see if I can get it to go a fourth. Hold on a second. See if you can see me. Can you see me?
Oh, damn. You're getting freaky.
Yeah, I need to fix the
great camera.
The contrast.
Damn, boy.
Green Bay. Hey.
Yeah, you're color coordinated. You look like you're like the O-line coach for the Packers. Yeah,
exactly. Totally. Right, like he's got a clipboard and a Surface Pro and he's going to be telling Rodgers,
no, you're right. He's the tech guy. He's the guy that the Packers hired to do Windows Surface Pro tech.
I need a much larger headset, though, with a huge Motorola logo on the side of the mouthpiece. I'd love
exactly.
it to use those. This is my favorite holdover of like advertising that dictates the size of the headset. Like, there's no way in 2016 they need headsets in the NFL that are these big, fat, freaking bastard headsets. They just need a little ear thingy. And instead, they keep making these big, huge ones so that Motorola gets their due. It's insane to me. Anyway.
Well, I mean, like, you would still want, for as loud as stuff gets, you probably still want the full ear cover, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You'd still want the whole Princess Leia.
It's so big, though. They're
Nobody
like,
wants the partial Princess Leia.
No.
Yeah.
I want you want your full Leia. It sounds wrong to say that. Hey, Justin, what's going on? Why is the government getting rid of ethics, or do we not want to talk about that?
Do we can get into it.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know a lot about it, so I don't think that we're going to have a very illuminating discussion. All I will say
is... Let's talk about cheese. Why is cheese so popular?
Yeah, what's up with cheese?
Well, all right, so here's the deal. The reason why I wanted to stop doing the politics podcast after the election,
yeah,
because I hate governing.
Yeah.
I like elections. Elections I can understand.
Yeah.
Like, lizard people want power. They embarrass themselves in front of us for power.
Yeah.
We get to judge them. We yell at each other based on our own judgments on whether or not lizard person A flew to my town and shook my baby's hand and, you know, called my baby the cutest, and the other one said that the baby was adorable, and now we'll debate the merits of who's better and who's not.
Yeah.
And then we pick, and everyone's upset, and some people are excited, and that's it, right?
Mm.
I like that. I understand that. What I don't understand is a lot of the governing stuff that is like, you know, it's all the distortion of an election,
mm-hmm.
except it's like all this like parliamentary procedure of like, well, we're rolling back the, it's like, you know, it's basically where we get all political ads, where it's like, Joe Smith voted against babies 19 times and said that babies were real piles of garbage. Or baby a pile of garbage, then maybe voting for Joe Smith isn't for you. Like, but really, the dude probably voted against the bill because he thought the bill was bad, and he loves babies, and he doesn't think that they're piles of garbage, but there was a garbage company that was involved in, like, a subsidy in the bill or something. So
sure. There was some kind of tacked on weird legislation that he didn't agree with or whatever.
So, yeah. And they're evil, right? And like, I'm not here to defend my fictional senator or his legislation against babies as it relates to piles of garbage. But, like, all I'm saying is that this stuff is always way more complicated. And it's effectively office politics.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't, like, we've been in situations, I think all of us at some point, where either in our own personal lives or on the internet, something that was a personal situation becomes distorted outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know, I would say, like, all the stuff that happened with, like, Twit, when we left Twit, that was a lot of stuff where it's like, it's a lot simpler when you just look inside, right? Mm-hmm. When you're inside this tiny little situation. But that's not what's happening, because everybody's bringing their own baggage. And now it's like all these other things that it really is. And it's just it's an office squabble, right? Like, it's just people not seeing eye to eye, and that's it, right? But it's more than that when other people get involved. So I don't know what the ethics thing is. I know...
Normally a boss can intervene and fire a party who's involved in a office politics problem. But since we're the employers and they don't give a shit, I can't fire anybody. You can't fire anybody. We can't even collectively fire anybody. I mean, we have to rely on another representative to create a situation where someone can be fired. Like, it's ridiculous to me that we can't, that we have zero say. So that's why it frustrates me. These things that happen between elections, and I totally get what you're saying about why elections appeal to you. But these things that happen between elections, I just don't know that I've ever felt as powerless as I do right now. Like, I have zero say in anything. And I never had a say in anything, ever.
Yeah,
always.
Why did you ever think that you had a say?
I don't know. I guess I bought into this gleaming sunshine idea that democracy meant that everyone has a voice. And I guess we do. We have a voice. But it doesn't...
Okay, so let's drill down on that. Because I think that that idea and the helplessness that you feel is why Donald Trump is elected.
Mm.
Because if there is one trend, if there's one thing that I know for sure, it is that globally there is a meme going around that people are scared that power is moving too far away from them.
Mm.
Power moves too far that you'll never get it back. And that, I think, was at the heart of Brexit. And that's, I think, was at the heart of not only Donald Trump's primary run, but also his general election run.
Where did they think it was going?
To the elites.
And who are the elites? Like, no one ever defines these things to me. What does that mean?
Oh, I would say...
Because in World of Warcraft, elites are guys with, like, interesting icons that look make them look like they're scarier. So
I think one of the biggest things that we've been trying to make sense of on the Politics Podcast... Politics Podcast. Man, whoever named that one's a piece of ass.
Yeah, I've always said you're kind of a nice piece of ass, so it's fine.
Well, that's why I'm dressing up so nice.
Sure.
Is the idea of globalism.
Yeah.
And this is something that I've always kind of dismissed because it has, by and large, been the domain of, the Alex Joneses of the world, for which, as much as I enjoy talking about Alex Jones and I enjoy, the concept of Alex Jones, not everything that Alex Jones says is something that I take particularly seriously, but it is something for which I think is real. And globalism is this idea that let's use every buzzword from every various like insurgent movement over the past 10 years.
Okay.
It is the 1% from Occupy Wall Street, right? It is the entrenched power structure that Black Lives Matter rails against. Those people have a more invested interest in networking all the world's wealth so they can control it. And that's where the power is going. The power is going to extra national organizations that can then exercise power over the nation state, be it economically or governmentally. So in Europe, it's an actual thing. It's the European Union, right? There's another government on top of like, yo, dog, I heard you like government. So we put a government on your government so you can government while you government.
Yeah.
In America, the anxiety is far more economic, that we owe so much money to China, that we owe that we have, plants are being built in Mexico when they're getting shut down in the United States. And that now, ironically, at places like the Mar-a-Lago golf course, the captains of industry are just, they're like, yeah, whatever. We can, I like living in Manhattan, but like, I don't care if anybody in America has a job. I'd rather just, make as much money as possible.
Yeah. So this is where the break comes from. By the way, Alex Jones needs to say,
I like the f*** too.
All right, that was him. I break with this is the idea that these changes, this Brexit thing and the Trump thing, took anything away from elites. It just transferred it to bigger elites, like the ones with more money than the ones that were currently in power in either case. Like, that's my problem. Like, I'm not... I understand the sentiment. What you described to me makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
I just, to me, it's like saying, I'm sick of being wet, so I'm jumping in this lake.
Well, no one group should have all the power unless it's us.
Unless it's this other group that will have not only all the power, but then more power.
Well, then who do you think, because I guess that this is my question, and this is where I think that there is a common thread, because what you just said is that I understand that feeling. That's a valid feeling. I just feel like the power's going to the wrong people.
No. I'm saying it's going. I'm just saying it's going to other people. The people that this definition of elites is stupid and should go away because it doesn't make any sense to me. What elites? They're all elites. Every one of them. If the definition is they have a ton of money and have interests in international things or whatever, they all do. Like,
yeah.
they all freaking do. So this promise of draining the swamp is complete bunk because it's just shifted over to...
Well, but that's the other weird thing is I think, like, drain the swamp was an effective political tool for Donald Trump because when he said it, I think his audiences knew what he means. But I don't think that we know what we mean. Like, what do you mean by drain? What do you mean, you people? What do you mean by drain the swamp?
That's what I'm.
I think that there's a million different answers for that.
I agree. That's my problem with it. There is no simple blanket for that. That doesn't mean anything.
I think, or when he says it, and Trump voters, please send me an email, theyoungamerican@gmail.com, if I'm speaking out of turn. But he initially brought it up with the idea that entrenched politicians. So the revolving door between politicians and lobbyists and stuff like that, that's the problem. That's the swamp.
Yeah.
And so we want to get those out of there. So the idea that there are, it is literally, we were joking on the podcast that it is basically the Mar-a-Lago steam room of like, you know, just like, oh, what do you want to be? Secretary of State? Cool. Yeah, you get to be that. Hey, owner of the Florida Panthers. That's like literally 30 minutes on the Sawgrass Expressway away from where my golf course is. Do you want to be the army man? Great. Congratulations.
Well, like, I mean, he has some history. He was an ex-Marine.
He does. And listen, the other thing is everybody freaks out about half these, but everybody freaked out about Linda McMahon from the WWE becoming the small business advocate or whatever. Yeah. Name another small business advocate, like, ever. Nobody can. Who cares?
Right. It doesn't matter.
Bobo the Clown. If it was literally Doink the Clown, like, who gives a rat's ass?
Please don't Doink the Clown, though, if you're in the mood to Doink the Clown.
He's dead, also.
Oh, okay. But I disagree with none of this. All I'm saying is anybody upset that all it did was shift to a different form of elite and a different form of cronyism and a different form of entrenched lobbyist-based, interest-based governing? Because that's all it did. And it's not even in power yet. But that's what it's already has done. And no one's talking about that. Like, forget about hacking.
I don't know, man. I'll give you the credentials to my Twitter account. I think that's pretty much all my Twitter account.
I get that Twitter and social media and a bunch of keyboard warriors, that's all we can talk about. I get it. I'm one of them. But I'm saying there's nobody who can do anything about it saying a word. Like, they're just not saying anything. And people who bought into this are either weirdly silent now or are just cats in a corner and won't let up and just, you know.
I think that no matter what, it is unfair to judge things now, because we don't know. Like, we know that we will probably have to deal with at least 4 years of a president who is probably a little bit more cavalier than many people are comfortable with, like, issuing decrees effectively via Twitter.
Mm.
Right? Like, we know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you know, who knows? We know that what he wants to do is to bully companies into doing things that are very publicly facing pro-American, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him prosecute that case via Twitter. We've seen that he is serious about putting a lot of people without a ton of governmental experience in there. And we see that he's appointing a lot of people that want to roll back power and regulation within the organizations that they are appointed to. But other than that, we have no idea. We have no clue.
This just in, by the way.
Mm.
Caught off the press.
Breaking news.
House Republicans backed down on bid to gut ethics office.
Oh, they backed down, did they?
Yes. Because of a what?
I don't know.
House Republicans facing a storm of bipartisan criticism, including from P.E. Donald Trump, moved early Tuesday afternoon to reverse their plan to kill the Office of Congressional Ethics. It was because an embarrassing turnout on the first day of business for the new Congress.
Because of a Trump tweet. He tweeted that he was not pleased with it, and they about-faced.
Boy, if that doesn't make you comfortable, I don't know what will.
Right?
That a guy can use... Dude, if I was Jack Conte or whatever's not Jack Conte, what's his name? Jack, the founder of Twitter, at Jack, here's what he needs to do. Kick all politicians off of Twitter. It's not censorship. It's a company. You can do what you want to do. Kick those guys all out of there. And I mean everybody. Make them make their own way of letting people know what they want to say. And let's see how that goes for them. But kick them out of there. We need nothing but kittens and Rogue One spoilers and that kind of shit.
And Will Smith's son.
Yes.
And Jaden. Sweet Jaden.
It's a sweet Jaden Smith.
Jaden Smith, yes.
All right, but let me ask you this, because we started this talking about how awful it was that the Republicans were doing this. And Donald Trump apparently led the charge to stop them from doing it.
No, no, I'm not. I understand that different. I would argue it's a totally different conversation that we could have about what this is versus what that is. Here's how it's different.
That's how a lot of people will see it.
Those guys are feeling emboldened by what's going on, so they make a very, I think, risky move. But thinking, hey, look what's happened so far. What's the worst that could happen? And the worst that could happen turns out that the guy that has sort of paved the way for these kinds of risky power grabs may not like what they're doing. So they pull back. That seems like the ultimate weird power for a guy to have. Like, he can't also, let me just say this. GOP, you embarrass me. I voted for your candidate so many times. Candidates, not this candidate. I did not vote for Donald Trump. I'd rather vote for a dog with a half a turd stuck in his butt. Here's the deal, though.
That would be a weird campaign.
Does your dog not have half a turd?
Anyway. Seriously, check it. It's still there. Only half.
This dog's got a problem. Anyway, so what I was going to say is they just seem like spineless weasels to me. Like, they just, every turn of this makes them seem like they will go whichever way the wind needs to blow and save their asses. Because when things like, I mean, they're all lying to me. If anybody out there says, if a Democrat was in office or was about to be in office and all this Russian hacking stuff was coming out, any of these allegations were coming out, they would lose their minds and impeachment would begin before you could spell the word. Like, they would freak out about it. And they should freak out about it. That's what they should do if it was a Democrat. Nobody's doing this, and it's driving me crazy that they won't do anything.
I guess my question is, like, since when did we have all these expectations for, like, strong backbone and moral fiber in politicians?
I don't know. I just think we should always kind of have it. We should always sort of be pushing for it. We should always try to hold them accountable.
No. That's a good thing to have. Also, when did we start expecting it, and when did we have it last? I guess that would be my question.
I don't know. It's a good point. You make a good question. It's like the Make America Great Again question, which I always hated because I always wanted them to define, well, when was that, and tell me what that meant.
And what is the right?
Exactly. Nobody
What's
ever
the benchmark
could.
For great, and how do we get there?
Yeah.
How do we achieve?
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess that's the same kind of question. And okay, fine. I think part of this is, I'll admit this, part of this is I have a father of kids who are getting ready to enter the world or are entering the world in a major way. And these concerns are suddenly my concerns. They weren't for a very long time because they didn't affect me. Like, does Nick care that this Congress thing happened today? He has no freaking idea. He may in his civics class have to bring it up or something, but he'll be just as bored by that as any other homework they give him. And that's how I would have been if I was 16. So I totally understand that. And I understand the position of bias that I'm in now. Suddenly I'm a much more concerned citizen than I used to be. But I don't know how to change that about myself. So I feel like the only thing I can do is have a baseline of integrity and say, who's closest to that baseline right now? And so few are. There's so few people in public office that I can point to and go, oh, you're kind of close to that.
Yeah.
And I understand that that may have always sort of been the case.
Yeah.
But I've got this horrible case of optimism and public accountability where I feel like people should be striving for better than that. And so it's just something I get mad about. That's all.
I don't think that's controversial, is it? Like, no, we should all be striving.
Well, we should be. And I know you're not saying that we shouldn't be. I'm just saying that's what gives me the gas. That's what gives me the freak out and the anger and the pissiness.
But I guess here's my... Because I'm totally with you. I'm with you 110%. But where I go next from there is, well, then let's assess the problem. Let's look at why we have these issues. Let's look at what we have now and not put on these kind of rose-colored glasses, or, I mean, I guess aqua-colored glasses if we're sticking with the Republican-Democrat metaphor here. And and say, well, look at all these evil blanks.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, and for people like I think me and you, I mean, I was upfront about the fact that I did not vote for Donald Trump. I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. That means that I have to be conscious in giving our president-elect a fair shot as he starts out. For this reason, we have never had anybody like this in the White House, ever. We've never had anybody without presidential or military experience.
I'm not even sure he's going to be in the White House itself, but yes, keep going.
We've never, we've never had anybody who has, and although I have great questions on exactly how successful in business he is, even if he's literally just somebody who licenses his name out, we've never had anybody that has been as successful in the private sector come into the White House that hasn't on some level traded in political influence for it. He certainly traded off his family's name. But we just don't know. We don't know. There's no roadmap at all. And so, like, I'm totally with you where, like, I feel insecurity. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like we're in a dark room. And we gotta feel around to find out where we even go from here.
Yeah, but the problem is when you feel around in a dark room and you go, oh, I found the arm of someone who will help me. Here, let me light a match so I can see who that is. And you find you're holding somebody's wiener. You know what I mean? like
wait, whose wiener is in this metaphor? Is it Paul Ryan's? Did you just grab Paul Ryan's wiener?
Paul Ryan's young, supple wiener. No, but my. I say that as more of a, hey, we're on the radio, let's be stupid comment. Sure. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And look, I am not one of those people. Every once in a while, somebody will have a brilliant tweet about the frustration of what's going on. And then they'll finish it with, say goodbye to democracy. Yeah. I'm not that guy. Never will I be that guy. It's all rising road to me. It's all stuff you can work through. It's never been about some ultimate utopian destination. It's been about the day-to-day, the battle to get there.
Yeah.
And you could argue you'd never actually get there. And that's okay, because the battle matters more, and what you do in the here and now and who you affect here and now and all that stuff matters more anyway. That is still me. That is totally who I am. But, you know, bias or not, I am in a position right now where I feel like there are so many weird things, questions hanging over all of this that I just am, I'm uncomfortable about it all the time. And that's not good for me.
I'm with you. I mean, look, like right now we're in a very, very weird place, because about 2 months ago, we had a lot of very, very, very secure political assumptions and many of them, including those that we thought were even better than regular assumptions, because they were math assumptions, right? Like, a lot of them were proven wrong, right? And that is, I think, part of the adolescence we are at in the information age. And we like to think that we're so advanced in this, but the more information that we have, the more we have to understand that more information does not necessarily always lead to more clarity.
No, you're totally right. In fact, you know what? I'm going to give you a real-time one. Check this out. Brian, you'll like this too.
Yeah.
So you just gave us that updated news that they called off that plan, right?
Yeah.
We assumed, and many are saying, I sound like Trump, many are saying in their headlines that, the Bloomberg News one says, House GOP reverses course on ethics change after Trump tweets. And we all said the same thing. This guy, Christopher, I don't know who this is, sent out a warning saying this is fake news. Voters calling in and jamming House switchboards did it, not Trump's tweet, which criticized timing, not result. Even this, which seems like, oh, okay, this was a good thing. We stopped something that is potentially has all sorts of ethical problems down the road and in the immediate future. We can't even decide on that causation. We don't even know who caused that. We don't know if it was the House switchboard getting overloaded or Trump's tweet. We still don't know, because one half saying it's fake and the other half saying no, it's not.
Oh, like, I mean,
I guess I'm just saying, to your point.
I know which side I'd bet on that, because that House switchboard has been jammed quite a few times. And very, very, very rarely does it change anything.
Yeah, my point is I know where I would bet as well. But
And listen here. Wait, let me just say this. Ninja Steve in the Twitch chat room says, "Yeah, I refuse to give somebody a chance who made campaign promises to kill women and children and to discriminate based on religion." And that, my friend, and ninja gentleman, I say is your opinion, man. The only reason why I say I have to give him a chance, and I would say Scott probably does too, is just because we analyze things for a living, right? Like our thought process is a public thing, and I think that it is just something that we just need to have an idea about, right? Like we have to go on a journey instead of just, you know, declaring that this is a destination, because I think that is, if we want to get into a big cultural question, the fact that in our adolescence, in the information age, we are constantly looking to present solutions instead of understand problems is an issue.
Yeah, it's a human condition that seems to be a little worse than usual. But yes, it's something we do, and we should probably figure out ways to not do that. I completely agree with that.
Just better.
All right.
You know.
Well, here. Okay. How about this? Here's my thinking. Mm-hmm. Some people have said, well, this is what everyone said before Hitler took power. They were all cool with it or whatever. You know, they have all these justifications or this, you know. And then on the other side, you never see fascism coming. It always sneaks up in the night and blah, blah, blah. So there's all these sort of fear mongering and whatever on both sides of how this goes. The only thing I would say is this. Usually at the cost of many lives and great economics and all this other stuff, at the loss of those things, yes, these things have happened in the past. Yes, they've gotten that dark that quickly. But one thing that always happens, it always, always gets turned around. The thing that's the crappiest things collapse. They don't last forever.
Yeah.
This isn't me saying, so don't worry, millions of people have to die first, but it'll all be okay. I'm not saying that's what we want. What I'm saying is, if there's a lesson that we've learned from history, it's that fascist regimes are on a relative timeline. Some last a lot longer than others, but they usually, in the end, and I'm talking, look at the whole of recorded human history, they're the ones that fail. More open systems don't. So,
yeah.
Even if it got real weird in these first couple of years of his presidency, there are things that could happen, like him, if he ever suggested, let's say he got to 7 years and suddenly suggested we need to have longer term limits for presidents, which he has, as the president, the right to, you know, suggest.
Yeah.
There's something in the stuff about that. And mm-hmm. By stuff, I mean legal documents and the Constitution. Anyway, yeah. The point is that things like that start happening. We don't all just have to sit here and take it like dumbasses.
Right.
And we don't have to just sit and tweet all day going, hey, what a dick. He's going to... Whatever, right? We have a recourse that I think we'll probably take, and that may be a costly one. I don't know. But the point is that to just predict that outright is a little lazy. Like, I'm as against this doofus as anybody is, and I'm vocal about it, and I get heat from people who support him all the time. But he's not... going to do the things you fear most, because he won't be allowed to. At some basic level, he won't be allowed to. And I know that sounds lame and has no teeth to it, but I'm telling you, that's how it'll go. We've done this before, and we can do it again.
Yeah.
And if it comes
I
to
guess,
that, you know,
I guess like I'm totally with, you know, everybody here in the chat room. I think it's Sidon who's saying, you know, I think media personalities meeting the Trump view halfway is a major reason why he got elected. Well, I know that I'm very comfortable with how I discussed Donald Trump in my political podcast. Mm-hmm. If anybody else wants to listen to it, then they're absolutely welcome to do it.
The halfways, I don't know that the halfways aren't the problem. Like, I don't
know. Well, and I'm by the way, I'm not saying meet anybody. I'm not saying agree with anybody halfway. I'm just saying understand it. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm like. I would say right now, we have not necessarily a paucity of evidence to understand what kind of president Donald Trump will be. I think we have conflicting evidence. I think that we have a lack of a consistent case to say what he will be. He has said horrifying things. He has also changed his opinion on a lot of things. So it's like, will he be the president that he was in the primaries? Will he be the president that he was running as in the general? Will he be the president that before he ran for election said that he was very, very, very pro-choice and he was for gun control and he thought Hillary Clinton was great and he thought that the Electoral College was garbage? Like, you know, we don't know. That's all I'm saying. It's like, let's understand. Even if you believe it to be the greatest problem of our modern era, you would be better served by understanding the problem than just saying, declaring what the problem is and possibly spending precious time going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I agree with that. Brian, you were going to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, there's a really good chance we're going to see all three of those Trumps, just depending on which way the wind blows, what, you know, what happens during his presidency that makes him feel like he's ineffectual in this area. He's going to double up on another area and be more aggressive and more, you know, to kind of save face. I think that we're going to see all three Trumps. And that's the unpredictability that kind of worries me, yeah. Worries a lot of us.
Here's what I think. I think he's going to be bored most of the time. I think that he's not going to like the work of it. I think that stuff sucks for him, and he's going to, like he does with his business, and maybe that's worked well for his business. He's going to have a lot of people where he says, all right, you'll take care of that. So-and-so is going to explain this. Those press conferences are going to be less about him and more about people he wants to say what he needs to say. And that's just going to be how it's going to be. And I remember thinking Bush didn't do enough press conferences and hardly said anything. Holy shit. I think he was the chatty Cathy of the presidents, if you compare him to what we're going to get from Trump. That's my prediction.
Well, to be fair, Obama, too. Obama also cut down on press conferences like that. That is a longer term trend that I think I agree with you. Donald Trump is going to exploit.
Yeah, for sure. But it's a trend. It's been a trend for a while. I don't know who the last really chatty one was. Probably FDR with his weekend.
But at the same time, I think we're going to hear a lot more from Trump than we did on the record with W or Obama. It's just going to be on his terms.
Yeah,
right?
It won't be in the press room in front of that podium where CJ Craig stands in the West Wing. It's not going to be that. It's going to be Twitter at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Not with Sean Spicer explaining the policy positions. No.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. All right. Well, I think we've once again gotten to the bottom of this barrel and found gold.
It's funny because I feel like and maybe some people here in the tadpole can quantify it. But like I feel like whenever I can tell I'm like an old Indian man knowing that it's going to rain. Right. Like I can feel it in my bones whenever a big political segment on TMS is coming up. Like I just know it. Because the frequency of your political posts on social media, like shockwaves or tremors or contractions or something. It's like, yep, they're starting to come a little closer together. Yeah. We're gonna have a big one on TMS on Tuesday.
Yeah, we're getting good at predicting these things. Here's the thing too, and I'll admit this freely, and chat room can do with this what they want, but I like to talk about this occasionally on the show because it's therapy for me. Like, it's actually a great way to suss these things out, to talk about the ideas, to even in some cases blurt my garbage out about how irritated I am with him, and do it in ways that I don't normally do. I'm not going to, you know, in front of my kids go, he's a douche and a fart knuckler and everybody should, you know, shoot him with a gun. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, that's bad. What I need to do is not pent it up and become a psycho. I need to, like, have a venting mechanism, and this is it.
And this is it.
This is it.
This is it. I'm on here on Tuesday. We can talk about whatever. Man, I'll tell you what.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, now. Therapy Tuesdays. Exactly. TT. There's two TTs.
we had a great Hotline Monday yesterday too.
I agree. We talked about musicals. We mentioned this briefly at the top of the show, but we talked about musicals in a way that I think nobody should have their immediate thought of, what were they doing talking about musicals? Like, it went deeper than that, further than that, and I'm still convinced that musicals could make their way into other genres. We had amazing calls. It was an awesome show. It was really, really good. People should be listening to that thing at frogpants.com/Hotline Monday.
Hotline Monday, yeah. No, absolutely. It was great. It was funny. Somebody tweeted us last night and was like, hey, I don't want to start anything, but gay guys like musicals in the same quantities that straight guys do,
meaning that less gay guys like it than straight guys
than we might imagine. Than we heteros
I don't think we
might imagine.
We didn't make some we didn't have a stance on that, did we? I don't remember talking
about that. The only point that I brought up the gay thing was that it's just funny whenever two heterosexual guys talk about musicals, it has to come with a 45-minute disclaimer of exactly what they like and don't like about musicals, right? Like, it's just, it's a weird... And it happened on the show yesterday where it's like, hey, we had to go see La La Land. It's like, well, you know, I don't know. Mostly I just like the arts and the crafts of it. You know, I just think it's a well-made thing. And, but really, when you think about the athleticism of the choreography, it's something that you really – I mean, it's not unlike football. You know, by the way, right, those Packers. Like, there's just always – there's a lot of preamble, right? You can't just say, oh, yeah, I liked it. It was good. The songs were good, right? Like, because then, somebody might think – someone might think you're the gay.
Yeah. No.
Well, you like the musicals, do you?
Yeah. That's totally true. That's totally true. And that was funny to see people react that way. Well, all right. There'll be more of that, of course, every Monday. You can catch it there. Brian, Justin, anything else you want to recommend to people this week?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. For everybody who is a regular viewer of this fine program, go ahead and just stay on the Frog Pants Twitch channel because I am live after TMS every day of the week, including Friday when there is no TMS. So I now have 5 days of streaming, and all you got to do is just sit right there. It'll auto-host on the Frog Pants channel, and come on over to my channel, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung or JustinRYoung.tv. Little callback there for school fans. But go ahead and check it out today. Talking on the jury show about we're talking a little bit more about the musical thing because I did find that very, very interesting. And about this Donald Trump thing, I've been thinking a lot about rich kids lately. Ooh. I feel like it's another thing that we need to understand a little bit more: are rich kids
interesting
and the behavior therein?
Okay.
Go ahead and watch a jury today. That is twitch.tv/JustinRYoung and Night Attack tonight. twitch.tv/Night Attack.
Nice. Justin Robert Young, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Audios.
Bye. All right. Brian?
Yes, sir.
That's the end of it. The show, I mean. Today's episode, that's all I mean. It's just today's episode. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Yeah. I haven't mentioned this in a couple of days, but if you'd like to support us and you like TMS and you like what we're dealing, head on over to patreon.com/TMS and consider giving. If you have already, huge thanks. We love you guys. Mm-hmm. And even if your way of giving is just recommending the show to people or auto-hosting the channel on Twitch or whatever, that's awesome, enough. Too. It's for Brian, Brian would like more than that.
We want your cold art. No, I'm kidding. Yes,
and even those who don't, consider you know, a little bit, like $1 a month. Imagine what that gives you. Exactly. A buck.
Exactly.
A buck, Brian. It's a buck.
Everybody listening to our voice right now who is currently not a Patreon subscriber just said $1 a month, then we could devote the full time to this thing.
It'd be TMS full time. Oh my gosh, that's all I would
and
think
that
about.
And that weekly trivia show or bi-weekly trivia show would absolutely happen.
Yeah, and we would be killing it with that. We'd have, oh my gosh, we'd just have
and
so
I
much
could
fun
stop
with it.
Doing ads for Manahawk and Kia. What's that? What'd I say?
Exactly. So consider it if you will, if you might. We are streamed every day now at alphageekradio.com and right here on twitch.tv/frogpants. And there's a simulcast on the diamondclub.tv page as well. If you would like to check us out more, frogpants.com/TMS. All our stuff is there. You can leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. And you can find us on Twitter at MorningStream, at Scott Johnson, and at Coverville. Oh, and drop us an email, themorningstream@gmail.com. Brian, play some music for me.
Okay.
Robot.
This is a request going out to Audi. We missed it last month, so catching up here. Hey, R2 and 3PO, my birthday is the 23rd, and it's really hard to compete with Jesus for attention. But after TMSPM this week and all the Bayo talk, I thought I'd throw out this request in honor of the day of my birth. If you end up using it later, that's cool too. Love the show, though, Audi. So thank you, Audi. We are using it later. Hope you had a wonderful birthday, and you know, everybody needs a little Scott Baio in their life to be in charge. Let's play this cover from Relient K's first album, their self-titled debut way back in 2000. Here is the theme to Charles in Charge.
Hey, Charles, check this out. This is Fat.
New boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs and it's understood. He's there just to take good care of me, like he's one of the family. On your show, Charles in Charge of all days and all nights. Charles in Charge of all wrongs and all rights. So I say, I want Charles in Charge of me.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I like a good mount.